Hey everyone, welcome to the Huck Church Podcast. You're listening to episode number 9. Today I wanted to share a review from one of our listeners. This comes from Talmud Lee, and he writes, "Love you guys, an awesome start to the Huck Church Podcast." Thank you so much, Talmud Lee, and for all of you listening, won't you take 30 seconds to write us a review? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, I have one last comment before we tune into Eddie's message. We are finally working out how to get you the best quality recordings and ask that you bear with us for just today as the sound goes from not so great to really great within this podcast. Thank you so much for your patience. I promise the quality gets really great in a few minutes. So without further ado, here is my husband, Eddie, continuing in our sermon series titled Simplify.
I have been doing a little Q&A in the beginning. And this time, I'm going to take, normally I've been only taking one question, but I got two questions this week, all right? So if you submitted a question, boom, you got in. Okay, and this is the first question, all right? Fullerton Baller 86, okay? Now, as you can tell, I did not get permission from this person, so I used an anonymous handle that I thought that this person might have. I'm just kidding. It's very, very random. Okay, Fullerton Baller 86 says this, passive. What's the difference between what you're talking about with simplify and minimalism? Is it just a Christian version? Yes and no, okay? And I thought it would be helpful to spend maybe 15 seconds on where it is similar and where it is different, okay? And I provided this quick quote. So if you guys know, minimalism is not behavior, but it is a mindset, it is a philosophy. It's almost like a religion, okay? And minimalism, by definition, is this. You can put it up here. It's about living with intention. You make room, space, and time for the things you love and eliminate everything that distracts us. So that, in a sense, is the core belief of minimalism. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about minimalism? All right? Founded by this Japanese tiny woman named Marie Kondo. Now, this makes sense, and I highlight the essential part about this philosophy is making room, space, and time for the things you love. Which is why when you're purging items, when you're getting rid of things, detaching yourself from things, you ask the question, does it spark joy? Do I love this? Now, I shared my own personal trouble with that, because when I look at something, does it spark joy? Does it help me? Because it did yesterday, it doesn't today. It could tomorrow, I'm not sure, right? So this has not been helpful for me as a Christian. I'll just admit that. But there are similarities. Similarities to the simplify, you can put the screen up here. It's about living with attention, which is similar. You make room, space, and time, but instead of the core idea of being what you love, it is all for the purpose of spiritual growth. That makes sense? It's not just about I'm keeping items that make me happy, because happiness is fleeting. It changes minute by minute, day by day. What makes us happy is different than it was yesterday, actually. Right? So all of this is for spiritual fruitfulness, effectiveness, being productive. And I hope that everybody in this room has a vision for their life to be effective, to make an impact, to leave a legacy on this in this world with their life. I hope that all of us don't want to end our lives saying, it was all a waste. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything meaningful. So again, this is all for fruitfulness and eliminating everything that distracts us. Does that help a little bit? Clarify where it is similar and where it is different. All right, minimalism, is it just Christian minimalism? Yes and no, kind of, right? It is about spiritual growth, okay? Now, second question, all right? Asian shy girl, 714. Again, I just feel like this person might be Asian shy girl, 714, okay? I love this Simplify series. It's helped me declutter a lot of the physical junk in my life, exclamation point. But what do you think about decluttering digital intake? What do you think the Bible says about technology use and social media? Wow, boom, that is going to be a tough one, okay? And so I have chosen to use this talk, this Simplify Part 3, as a way to address this issue, okay? Now, this will hurt a little, okay? Because I look in the room, and I would say, I'm going to be conservative. Majority of us are under the age of 40, okay? I gave a lot of conservatism to that number, okay? Under the age of 40, anyone under the age of 40, when they hear anything that is going to strip away technology causes panic, right? Which also shows our addiction to it, okay? So let's just be, it's okay. This is like AA, all right? This is TA, Technology Addicts Anonymous. TAA, all right? Technology Addicts Anonymous in this room, all right? This is a safe place, okay? So I will talk about this today. So I don't know if you have this type of person in your life. I have a mentor. A person that I look up to, he's older than me, and he's like the tech geek. I don't know if you have someone in your life like that. Like, they are like the early adopters to everything. The person that has, you know, the first to get the gadget, right? The GoPro cam, or they download the app that's supposed to maximize your steps and your efficiency and your blood pressure and your everything. Right? Do you have those people? So I have this person in my life, and he's so like efficient, productive, and like effective. And I just, you know, I'm like, man, something is working. And I realize that, okay, maybe it's the technology he uses. It's the apps, it's the websites, it's the books he reads. I don't know. But something's working for him. And so he's always like, you know, Eddie, man, have you heard about this app? I was like, oh, what is it? Oh yeah, it's called Zing. It's like, oh, what's Zing? It's like, oh man, it's fire. We're like, oh, it's like, this is a game changer. You gotta get it. It's $9.99 right now, but dude, you gotta get it right now. It's gonna change your life. And I've had this conversation probably with him like a dozen times. Okay, I've probably spent hundreds of dollars on technology that's supposed to make me more productive and more effective. And yet, I'm realizing that I look at my inbox in my email, and I've just signed up for thousands of newsletters and subscriptions. I have all these apps on my phone. I have all these websites that I have like logins for. I have all these bank accounts, all these things, right? And I just realized, like, hey, technology is meant to make me more productive. It's supposed to help make my life more efficient. And yet I'm realizing that it's actually making me more unproductive. It's actually causing more stress. It's causing more confusion. It's causing more clutter. And I'm not sure if you guys feel that way as well in your life. Okay? And so I have given thought about the value of simplifying technology and how it really connects to our spiritual life. So that is the concept we're going to talk about today. Can we do that? But it's going to hurt a little bit. Not too much. Not too much, okay? So I want to focus on this, but why simplify our technology? Now, This is what I'll say to you to ease you. Okay, so for some of you that are like so tense right now about what I'm going to ask for you to give up, you can relax a little bit. You know why? Because what I will not say, does that make sense? What I will not say is that we will not be doing a detox. Oh, everyone's so light now. Oh, I don't have to give it up. No, I'm not going to say to give up anything. Alright? Or even use less of it. Whoa. Okay, now you're like, okay, I'm game. I'm ready to play, right? So the reason why detox doesn't work for technology addiction is it's not like food or dietary restriction. You know, detoxing food helps cleanse your system, and then you can regulate or go back to your diet. Here's the thing with technological detox. When you detox technology and you go back to it, nothing changes. Okay? You just go back to doing drugs. It's not a real detox. Okay? So it won't be a detox. Okay? And I'm a big advocate of technology. I love it. I'm an early adopter myself. I even love social media. I think it's great. A lot of you came to this place because of Instagram. Okay? I am a pro believer. At the same time, I have to embrace the negative effects it does have in our life. And I do believe that technology, without this conversation, can cause us to be ineffective. Okay? And so here's three reasons why. Okay, here's three reasons why it has become ineffective. Oh, before we show that slide, right, I realize that some of you are new, and for those of you who don't know, 3 weeks ago we started a series called Simplify, okay? Going from confusion to clarity. And in this day and age, we're all so confused because our lives are so messy, so cluttered, so junky. And so we've been removing our physical space, right, purging our items, but now we are going to clean up our digital space. Does that make sense? So that's the next phase of this talking series. And it really is anchored in the story of the parable of the four soils. You might have heard of it. Now, this is the soil, right? And there's a story that Jesus talks about of the four soils. And he says the first soil is, you guys remember? The path. It's this hard, rocky, tight ground that when a seed falls, it's so tight, there's no good soil, it's dried up, that nothing can grow. Okay? So the soil is sad, and also, nothing can grow. It's sad. Sad, sad. I make it really simple here, but, okay? Now, the next type of soil is called, what is it? Rocky. That's right. Very good, class. Okay? Now, this soil is, the soil has all these rocks. Okay? And a lot of this is the internal things that we have not dealt with. Alright? The trauma, the negative talk we talk about ourselves, our belief about ourselves, I am stupid, I am not good enough, these things that cannot take root. So the root doesn't grow deep. And then we have this flower, this fruit, but in the end, it just dies because there's no root, okay? And I give a silly example. This is like the junior high student that accepts the gospel and is so excited, gonna be a pastor or missionary, but then when their girlfriend breaks up with them, they're like, oh my gosh, like, this isn't worth it, this is too hard, right? This is kind of the person that gives up, okay? That's the rocky soil. Now I'm gonna skip over to the third soil and go to the fourth soil. The fourth soil is called the good soil, all right? And this is a no-brainer, right? It's not a person. Everyone laughs because I just mess this up every time. Right? Good soil, it's clean, it's good, and you get good fruit, right? Now, simplify is all about this third type of soil. This is what we're dealing with, okay? This is where the soil is good. All the rocks are gone out. You've done the therapy, you've done the counseling, you've done the healing prayer, you have a good view of yourself. I accept the gospel. I know Jesus loves me. I know I can be forgiven by God. I take the communion every Sunday here at HUG. But your life isn't producing fruit. Your life isn't effective. And you're just like, why? Why am I unproductive? Why am I ineffective? Why am I not making the impact that I think I should be making? I have good soil, right? The reason is this. It's like, man, because we have all these thorns, all right? Hence, this is called the... Very good. See how I make it simple here? Very, very simple, very clear. You remember this image forever, right? Yeah. So, one of the thorns could be materialism, could be your addiction to shopping, could be spending, could be valuables, could be things, but it also can be technology. Technology can be thorny. And so this is where I want to talk about the three ways that this thorny technology makes us ineffective in our lives, unproductive, and it limits us. One is it steals our energy. Okay? Steals our energy. Now, why that is because if you know that, though, I have my phone in my back pocket. So everything that is digital or technological has a screen. And this is an LED screen. Now the average person holds their phone about 8 inches away from their face as they read, okay? I don't know who reads like physical paper anymore, but a lot of our viewers, I'm glad you laughed at that because it wasn't a funny joke, but a lot of our viewership comes from screens, LED screens. Now, if you, anyone a scientist in this room? Good, so I'm gonna sound like the smartest person in the room, great. So, if you know the effects of light an LED has on your eyes, digitally, it causes so much strain. And your brain goes through the same experience that it does when it is in high stress environments, high panic environments. So all this screen time that we have are putting us in a biological, physiological, neurological state. I have two doctors in this room, so now I'm all insecure. Now, right, but it does. It causes us to be in this state because of the strain on our eyes. Another thing that is stealing our energy is that all this digital intake and consumption affects this hormone called melatonin. Okay, does anyone know what melatonin is? It's a hormone that helps us go to sleep, right? So as the sun falls down and the atmosphere becomes more, becomes darker, and the moonlight, it actually helps all the rise in our body of melatonin that makes us relax and go to sleep and rest. Now, you know what suppresses that melatonin from coming up? Technology. Technology and digital light and LED screens. So again, if you have insomnia, if you can't rest well, if you don't hit your 2 or 3 REM cycles when you're sleeping, and if you do any research or Google search the effectiveness of sleep, you will see why this is important. Okay, so it does steal our energy, and I promise I'm going to get to something spiritual and biblical at the end of this, okay? So another point, okay, is that technology is, it makes us ineffective because it is escapism. Have you ever heard that term? Escapism, okay? Now, escapism could be online shopping, right? How many times did you have to buy socks or post this on Amazon, and it took you about 1 hour and 40 minutes because you're just like, oh, this looks, wow, this is great. Whoa, 2 days shipping, 1 day shipping here. Oh, how am I going to fill my cart to hit $35 so I can get the 1 day shipping? Now I got to find something else, right? It's just like, this 15-second exercise took about 1 hour and 40 minutes, right? Goodness, I have to ask my wife to buy all our Post-its at home now, okay? And so again, it becomes an escapism, okay? And it's not just online shopping, right? And this is where it can kind of hurt for some. But sports is a way of escapism. Now, if anyone were to ask me, okay? So one thing I gotta admit to you guys that I'm going to lose a lot of male attenders to this church is that I am a Los Angeles Clippers fan, okay? I know. Everyone is a Lakers fan, right? But here's the thing. If you were to ask me who the starting five of the Clippers are, I cannot tell you. Because I don't watch sports anymore. Now, that was supposed to be funny, but I really don't. And I have been historically an avid Clippers fan. I have a Lamar Odom jersey. I have a Blake Griffin jersey, okay? I went to a game during the Elton Brand season. I'm losing a lot of women right now. But anyway, and I'm losing a lot of men too. Like, who? What? I don't know anyone that's played for the Clippers, okay? Right? So I am an avid fan, but I have not watched because it has been a place for me just to escape, right? Because my life is so uninteresting that I have to invest my energy into something that is more exciting. Does that make sense for you? Right? Escapism for men particularly is that their life is so underwhelming and unachieving, and they haven't done things that have made their life so interesting that it's so much easier to invest your time and energy into something, into another person's life that is more interesting. So technology creates this atmosphere, this temptation for escapism, escaping from your real life
your mundane, mediocre, lazy, whatever it is, okay? So sports. Now, here's the one that's going to hurt even more, okay? Now, the greatest area of escapism is found in Netflix. Very good. Who said that? Yes, Netflix. And I will tell you why, because Netflix is very smart, okay? Netflix only creates content that is called, and you might know this term, it has to be, number one, binge-worthy. Okay, did you know I was going to say that? Right? One rule of thumb, okay, I know a lot of people on Netflix, and their way of vetting any production or a pitch or greenlighting a project is that the content has to be binge-worthy. You have to nonstop watch it. The way that one episode ends, it causes so much unresolved tension, you have to watch the next episode, all right? So the game, I'm just letting you know, I'm like Morpheus in the Matrix. I'm telling you some of the real stuff that's going on in society right now, okay? Which is funny, anyways. But it is causing us to, you know, it's okay to escape. It's okay to watch one episode of Friends. 23 minutes, you can afford that, okay? But I'm telling you right now that technology is designing ways for you to be addicted, to binge watch 3 seasons of Stranger Things. Are there even 3 seasons? I don't watch Stranger Things, so I don't know, okay? So again, it is removing so much time, so much energy, and it's causing us to escape from our real lives and reality. Is this interesting at all to anyone? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, this is where the next one, this is where I get biblical. This is where I get Christian, and this becomes a sermon, okay? And this one, this third E that I'm about to say, don't show it yet. Okay, this third E is the most important thing that I want to talk about and hone in on, because I've thought about, why is this really worth a topic talking about in church? Is this really worth talking about and dealing with at HUG? And the research that I read is so much more overwhelming, because the reason why technology needs to be simplified, okay, needs to be used more effectively, is because there is no more one-to-one correlation to depression and mental health than technology, especially social media. And so if you look at the statistics and the surveys and the data, the link between even suicide, the link between clinical depression, the link between pharmaceuticals. I almost believe that pharmaceuticals are funding technology companies for some reason, right? Because it almost helps their business, okay? Now, please, government, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't live in Fullerton and my last name is not Park, it's Pork. And so, again, it's especially with teenage girls, okay? It is actually, if you read it, it's wrecking teenage girls, okay? This technological social media phenomenon. Now, and I'm reading the data, I'm reading the concept, it's very technical, all this technical jargon, maybe the doctors can help me read through some of this research, but I'm trying to find what is the idea? What is the biblical principle that they're talking about? What is the cause? And the way that I boil down to for us in this talk today is that it comes down to social media technology causes envy. It triggers so much envy. And envy is what's causing our mental states to erode, to be depressed, to be anxious. Okay? This is the number one thing that I want to talk about. So the thorn of technology causes and triggers so much envy in our lives. And there's a proverb coming from Proverbs 14:30, and it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I've been meditating on this, but envy, it rots you. And I when I read the first part, a heart of peace, that is what we're going after in this series of Simplify. We want to be in this constant state of peace, rest. We want our melatonin to go up at night, right? But it's funny how the opposite is. Envy is what causes our bodies to rot. And it makes a lot of sense because I want to talk about the story. And the story is with King Saul and David. King Saul and David. And I feel like this is the closest example to what we're talking about here. So bear with me, okay? So there's a scene. If you know, King Saul was chosen to be the ruler of Israel, right? He's like super tall, super fit. He looks like my brother-in-law, Sarah, okay? Not like me. And he's very handsome. Again, like him, not me. And he's like the people's champion. He's the guy. He has all the applause, all the fame. But then this scrawny little rat named David with kind blue eyes shows up on the horizon, and he's taking all Saul's likes and viewership. And you guys are laughing, but this is real. This is like really a good parallel here. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, okay? So I'm going to talk about King Saul, right? And you're laughing now, but you'll see, like, whoa, Eddie was right about this, okay? So 1 Samuel 18, this is the moment, all right? This is the moment when they just, you know, they just went to war. Saul brought David, and he's like, David, like, I want you to come with me, lead my army as well. He's being benevolent. He's being a good partner. But when they came back, when the men arrived after David returned from striking down the Philistine, Goliath, okay? David killed one person, by the way, okay? One guy, right? Saul took years to strike down thousands of the Philistine. David just, right? That was one person. And Saul wants to take credit for David. He's like, yeah, I know him. I brought him there. I told him to take off my armor, right? He's saying those types of things. He wants the praise and applause. And then the women, ooh, notice that it's women's approval that mattered to the king, right? Women from all over the cities of Israel came out singing, dancing to meet King Saul. They were happy as they played their tambourines, three-stringed instruments. What's a three-stringed instrument? I don't know. The women were playing the music and sang. So all is good, right? Saul is coming on the parade, all these people cheering, waiting for him. And he's like, man, this is awesome, right? I'm the king of Israel. I just defeated the Philistines, something that our people could not have done during the whole book of Judges, okay? And then this happens. Verse 7, Saul, they sing out and say, Saul has struck down his thousands. And he's like, yeah. And then he hears, but David, his tens of thousands. And then his demeanor and energy changes. He's like, wait, what? Why are they praising him? And he says this. Oh, okay. He does not say that. He's like, why should we simplify our technology? He did not say that, okay? that'll be really funny. But Saul was very angry when he hears that. He's very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me only thousands? What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. In other translations, he says he envied David, the green-eyed monster, the jealous monster, fixated on David from that moment forward. And if you guys know and read the story of 1 Samuel, you know what happens? Saul becomes crazy. He literally has a mental psychotic break. And he is no longer fit to actually rule and govern the kingdom. Because so much of his energy and time and effort and fixation and obsession became this envy of David. How do I destroy him? How do I become better than him? How do I get more praise than him? How do I align people to not align with him but align with me? And it became this fixation, this obsession. And it made him ineffective to do his duty. This man was called to be the king of Israel. This man was called to govern a people, to rule, to protect, to win wars. And he could not do that duty because he was so fixated on comparing himself to David. To David. And again, this whole thing about technology and particularly social media, it is where we get our validation. It is where we get our affirmation. And it is where we get our applause. Like, comment, double hands, thumbs up, emoji, right? It's where we can get that. It's where we can get that. So why we should simplify, all right, our technology? Well, one reason, and more importantly, I would like to say, is because it triggers envy. It triggers a lot of envy. And envy is really the enemy of our effectiveness. It erodes us. It causes us to have these mental erosions and really debilitate. Causes even depression. I'll give you an even more simple story or example, okay? I'm going to show this picture right here. Now, does anyone know where this picture or this scene is from? Snow White, okay? Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, okay? Now, this is who? The evil queen, okay? Notice how they're both monarchs, okay? They're both kings and queens. And she is looking into what? The mirror. And what is the question that the evil queen asked the mirror? That's right. Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror tells her, some days, it's you. And then there was another day that was, hey, it's not you anymore. Right? Now, this is a simplified example or story. But again, it can be very, very powerful. Okay? The mirror is like media. Social media particularly. Okay? And the way that this queen is using social media or the mirror is to validate her. To validate her view of herself. The way she views herself, her image. And what is the view, what is the belief that she has about herself? That she's the fairest of them all. She is the most beautiful woman in the land. And imagine this queen, we don't really know in the story, but imagine the queen checks the mirror every 15 minutes and asks the same question, who's the fairest of them all right now? Who's the fairest, right? And it's like, it's you. It's like, okay, great. And then goes back 15 minutes. Who's the fairest? Is it still me? It's like, no, yeah, 15 minutes ago I told you it's still you, right? And then you go, and then she asks the mirror again. Hey, so, who has the best, like, who's the tallest lady in this? You know, so she's constantly checking this mirror. When, if you're the queen and you have this mirror that can see anything or ask anything, why don't you ask and use it to check on people that you care about and actually want to help? But instead, she uses it to validate her, to validate the belief and view and image about herself. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a silly, silly example or metaphor, but it is so profound about the way we live our lives in humanity. You know, when you read the story of King Saul and David, when people read the story, who do they think they are in that story? When you read that story, who do you think you are? Majority people want to think they are David. They want to put themselves in David. But no, no, no. The reality and wisdom of that story is that we are Saul. We are Saul. Humanity is Saul. Saul thinks that he is this person. He realizes that he is not that person. And he cannot accept and embrace the truth that maybe he is not the person, the ruler, the loved one, the adored one, the admired one, who he has worked so hard to become. See, envy is this, I'll tell you. Everyone has built an image of themselves. There's some muscles. There's like 6-pack, 8-pack, right? Everyone has created this image, this belief of who they think they are, and they only show that person to the public because they so desperately want everyone to think this of them. This of them. Okay? Is this funny? I thought it was a good drawing, but I'm going to go next level depth right now. Is that okay? It might hurt. Okay? This is what's really happening when you're triggered with envy. Okay? You realize you're really this person. That is what's happening with envy. You look at the Davids and you're like, how does that guy get to go to Australia for vacation? How did that guy get promoted? How did he get that wife, right? You know how many men have said that about me? Okay, like how did he get her, right? Like, wow, why is this kid so cute? You know, the man, he's not even that good looking, right? Amazing. Like, I just trigger a lot of envy. Everybody should really stop following me on social media, okay? But that is what's happening. You're just like, oh, I deserve that. I should be getting that. Well, it's because you think you're this. And you're not dealing with this. You're not dealing with like, maybe I'm not who I think I am. King Saul. Maybe I'm not that great of a ruler as I think I am. That is what he's not dealing with. The queen could not accept that she is not objectively the most fair in the land. She could not accept that I'm number 2 right now until Snow White becomes 40, right? She could not accept that because she still thinks she is the fairest, which is not true. That is the image that she wants to project. Here's the thing, though. Here's the good news. You ready for the good news? This image, this person that we have created for a lot of us is part of who we are now. It is part of who we are now. Because we still need this person to survive. It's zombie apocalypse out there, right? You need this person to survive. They can't know that you just drink Coke and play games at home all the time, right? But here's the thing. God loves both this person and he loves this person. He actually really, really accepts this person the most. He understands this, but he really loves all of you. He accepts all of you. Does that make sense? Does that hit with you guys? I want to end with a quote here. And it comes from the book, The Laws of Human Nature. So if you're into reading, which probably one of you is. I read this book. I read a lot from Robert Greene, excellent author. He also wrote the book, The Laws of Power, okay, if you wanted to know. The Laws of Human Nature. But he says this particular thing about social media that really, I think, nailed it, okay? Through social media, we have a continual window into the lives of friends, pseudo-friends, and celebrities. And what we see is not some unvarnished peek into their world, but a highly idealized image that they present. We see only the most exciting images from their vacations, the happy faces of their friends and children, accounts of their continued self-improvement, the fascinating people they are meeting, the great causes and projects they are involved in. Does this ring a bell to anybody? The example of success in their endeavors. This is all we see. But is this true? No. It's all we see is this. All we see is this. And we think that this is reality, that we should be this all the time. So, I'm going to be a little bit more practical right now. All right? And this is probably going to be maybe the most painful part of this talk. Okay? One of the things that I have done, and I want to let you know that 100% this message applies to me. I am human. I feel the triggers and envy, and it makes me debilitated, makes me anxious, it makes me depressed comparing myself with other colleagues. Okay? And if you click one more time, the thing I want to highlight is this: are these people, the pseudo friends. Okay? We have a lot of these pseudo friends. We say we're friends with them, but they're really just people that we want to feel better about ourselves, okay? Or we compare ourselves to, right? That's something I really want to fixate on for the next 20 seconds. So one thing that I've practically done to simplify is, you know, I told you that I'm like the guy that downloads every app that this one guy tells me to download because it says it's a game changer and made me waste a lot of money, okay? So I have all these apps on my phone, but one of the things that I have minimized or simplified is my home screen, and I tested it on myself to see what it does, okay? You know the worst thing about this new update of the iPhone is that it tells you how much screen time you use. It's like stepping on a scale every 5 minutes, okay? Or seeing how much calories you eat. And I realized, like, oh, man, there are things that I use that it's like, it does not move the needle for me. It makes me ineffective. And so I saw the ones that I do use and that I think are valuable to me, and those are the only apps that I put on my home screen. So if you put a picture, this is my home screen now. I only have these, nine apps, okay? I use Waze the most because I commute a lot. Chrome, Instagram, I still post, and podcasts, right? And everything is kind of like clock, camera, settings, right? And it's fascinating the amount of the drop in usage of all the other apps just because I put them on the next page. Is this crazy how, like, just by keeping the ones that I use and putting all the secondary ones that I don't really want to use, it's like hiding all the candy and cookies and chips in your kitchen, because if you don't see it, you just don't eat it. You don't use it, right? So this is one of the practical things that I've done. And you're like, oh, Eddie, that doesn't seem too painful. It just takes some time. You have to decide which ones you want to keep, right? Here's the other thing that I have found most effective and that applies to our talk today, which is this. I have defriended and unfollowed all my pseudo friends that trigger envy. And apparently it was a lot because I unfollowed about 700 people. Yeah. And again, there's the people that I really follow and want to stay connected with social media. It's people that I genuinely care about, that I'm not in competition with, that don't trigger something that make me feel less manly, less successful, less achieving. And again, it's I care about those people, but I don't need them on my Instagram feed. I don't need them in my Facebook. I don't need them on my Snapchat. I don't need them on my Twitter. Especially because if it triggers envy, I know what it does to me. It causes me to be like Saul. It really does. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. And the moral of that story is be careful. Look at Saul. He could have reigned and ruled and governed well, but he allowed his envy to consume him, to make him depressed and paranoid and obsessed. And I'm admitting to you that I can be like that. So again, I want to share intimately with you some of the things that I'm doing to protect my soul, to make me more effective, productive as a father, husband, leader, pastor, worker. And you might hear this and it's hard. Yeah. But these are the things that we're doing. So again, I want to, you know, close our time really encouraging you. If it triggers envy in your life, consider, really consider taking it away, because it will not help you, brother and sister. It will not help you, friend. It will steal your impact. It will steal your vision. It will steal your joy. Here's the good news, though. That person that you are having such a hard time to embrace, the real you, God loves that person. God accepts that person. You have no need to compete. You have no need to show and project. Just focus on your vision. Focus on your calling. Focus on the impact that you want to make in this life. That is my encouragement to you today.
Thanks for listening, and we want to invite you to stay connected with us. Find us on Instagram at HuckChurch or at HuckChurch.com. Until next week, a huge hug from Eddie and myself.